I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error. Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse will be back on Monday. Thanks be to God. And we have a special show. A good friend of mine, Father Joe Ilo up in San Francisco, is going to join us and tell us about how God called him to become a Catholic priest. All week long, I've been having different priests come on and tell us their walk into the church and then also into the holy priesthood. I normally will give you gospel, which we will today. I normally give you Fulton Sheen, but because Father Joe Ilo needs to get to hear confessions and go to say Mass at his local parish in San Francisco, we're going to only have him on for a couple segments. And I think you're going to find it's a joy, because it's neat to meet priests who love their priesthood. And I really hope and pray. We've already had a couple inquiries where young men wanting to be priests this week, I've referred them to Bishop Strickland's diocese and others. They actually wanted to talk to Father Charles Murr, who comes on Fridays a lot of times. They try and help them in their vocation to the priesthood. Father Joe Ilo, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Thank you, Terry Barber.
Yes.
Now, can you see me? Can you hear me?
I can see and hear you, Father. When we first met, I had hair on my head, and your hair was black, or brown at least.
I'm losing it too, but a little bit less rapidly than you.
You're not kidding. Father Joe, the reason I asked you to come on is because of how God worked in your life through Our Lady, through the Blessed Sacrament, through the MI movement, Knights of the Immaculata. We go back, I guess, 30 or some, maybe even 30 some years ago. I can't remember, maybe the 1980s, something in there is when we first met. But can you share a little bit of your own story, how you actually fell in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church, especially through the Holy Eucharist?
Well, certainly, Terry. Well, I was raised in a Catholic family.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, my mother, with six kids, my mother and dad are still alive.
Thanks, Peter.
94 and 88. They just had their 67th wedding anniversary.
Wow. That's awesome.
It is great. What a grace. So we were practicing, although dad wasn't. He was a Catholic, but wasn't going to church, although thanks be to God, he's come back to the sacraments in his later years.
Right.
But mom was always going to church. We went to Mass every Sunday, but I didn't know much about the faith. We went to catechism program and all through the parish, but I didn't really learn anything. So I was graduating from high school, mm-hmm. and I wanted to go out west. We were from Pennsylvania, heard a lot about the west. So in order to do that, we had Mormon cousins, and my mom said, well, you can go spend a month on the ranch. I want to be a ranch hand in Utah. Good cousins out there, good people. But she said, you spend a month on the ranch, I want you to spend a month in a retreat in Los Angeles as well. And so I did that. I made that deal with my mom. I went out and spent a month on the Mormon ranch, learned all about Mormonism. And then I went to the YMI, Youth Mission for the Immaculata, Los Angeles.
Yes.
And that was run by a woman named Alice O'Donnell. She's like kind of my spiritual mother. My own mother is my spiritual mother too. But Alice, because of this program, was able to bring the fullness of the Catholic faith into me. Well, my mother tried to, but I wouldn't listen to her too well. You know, when dad's not practicing, the boys are like, well, that's kind of mom's thing. That's a woman's thing. But I went to this month-long retreat, and we had four conferences a day on every Catholic topic, perpetual adoration. There were 12 young men like myself. We were 12 apostles. And when I first got there, I was talking about Mormonism, because I was like, well, Mormon looks pretty good to me. I mean, they have good, strong family life, and they help each other, a good community. And they used to call me the Mormon Catholic, not the Roman Catholic, the Mormon Catholic. But within a week, I was back to being Roman Catholic, and not only back to it, but I understood it now. And we'd get up at 3 a.m. and do adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, of course, the Rosary every day. So at the end of that month, we made our total consecration to the Blessed Mother. And that has unfolded, that has unpacked itself over my next 35, 40 years, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
15, I was 17. So 41 years ago. And so it led me to the priesthood, and that's how I became a priest. Any other questions?
Yes, Father, because you and I have a very similar story. I went to the YMI program in 1978. Alice O'Donnell's my neighbor in the city of West Covina, God rest her soul. And I, like you, got involved with the Legion of Mary through Alice, and Alice was like a spiritual mother to me also. So we have something in common. And I want to encourage people to check out the Knights of the Immaculate. I love to give resources to our listeners because, Mom, Dad, you've got young men, young women. They have separate programs for these young people where they study their Catholic faith, Christology, Mariology, church history, apostolic work, praying the rosary in front of an abortion clinic. We did all that. And that really helped me stay focused in my faith and really helped me do what I'm doing today as a layman. And it's not all that people would go to these programs and become Catholic priests, but they would be on fire for the love of God, and their Catholic faith would be the most important thing in their life. So I appreciate you sharing that. Father, wasn't there a time when you were 17 years old? Because I say this because lack of catechesis is still not very good right now. Even when you were a young person, you said you didn't get well formed on the real presence. I mean, the Pew Research shows that many, many Catholics, a majority of the Catholics, have no understanding of the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. What was it that convinced you about understanding the real presence in the Holy Eucharist?
So that's a key point to make, is mm-hmm. everything, and especially the priesthood, the yeah. only reason to be a priest is the Holy Eucharist.
Yeah.
The rest of it's icing. But most people, of course, don't. Most Catholics don't understand and therefore don't believe. You can't believe in something you don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand. So the short answer to your question is adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. Mm-hmm. We had adoration 24 hours, 7 days for a month. When a young man has to get up at 2 in the morning, 2:30, to do his 3 o'clock holy hour, you start to believe in it.
Yeah, amen.
You say, there's something, wow. First of all, it's kind of exciting when you're young to be in the middle of the night, like get up as a soldier in the middle of the night to go to battle. But also it's very quiet, contemplative, beautiful. And it's the liturgical and devotional circumstances, the beauty and that helps you unconsciously begin to believe in this. Now, I got to say, I believed it, but the belief in the Eucharist is something that, of course, it's infinite. The mm-hmm. Eucharist is infinite. So we continue to develop our understanding, deepen it in faith and understanding throughout our lives. So I can remember in college, at 17, I had this experience, and I understood, and I started going to daily Mass.
Yes.
I went to Penn State about 2 months after that retreat and started going to daily Mass because we had done that in the YMI retreat.
Sure.
And I never stopped. But I would go to the Newman Center my freshman year, and I hadn't understood all the ramifications of the real presence. So a Protestant evangelist came to our dorm room one time, and my roommate was Protestant,
mm-hmm.
good man. And he said to Billy, my roommate, well, Joe here, as a Catholic, believes that the Eucharist is the body and blood of Christ that hung upon the cross, the physical body and blood of Christ, that
mm-hmm.
with blood and hair and sinews. And I looked at him, I said, I don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, you're supposed to. So I deepened. I mean, I thought, well, yeah, I believe in the real presence and it's a sacrament, but to get even that level of physicality. So then I did more research and my understanding and faith took another plunge deeper at that time. And I started to go to adoration. So a daily Mass, yes, but adoration was kind of the next step that we've been exposed to in the MI movement as Knights of the Immaculata, but I didn't begin to practice that right away.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, the daily holy hour took hold my first week in the seminary.
Wow.
And three times in three different circumstances, I was told to do a daily holy hour. One of them was a retreat based on Fulton Sheen. Well, one of his talks, I think we had recorded, and it was about the daily holy hour. Okay,
yes.
That's one. Then there was a retreat director spoke about Therese, and he said, well, Therese, of course, did more than one holy hour every day as a Carmelite, but he said, my young sons in the seminary, you will be happy and faithful to priests if you do your daily holy hour. If you don't, no, I can't tell you what's going to happen. And then there was my spiritual director, and he said a daily holy hour. So I said, three strikes and I'm out. And I've been doing a daily holy hour since that time in 1987, I think it was.
That's awesome.
And that's why I'm still a priest. You cannot be a priest if you don't do daily, if you don't do adoration.
Absolutely. Father, let me jump in. There's a Benedictine monk who wrote a book to priests, When Heart Speaks to Heart. Here's what he says. More good can be done in a single hour of adoration than 100 days of uninterrupted preaching and apostolic labors. For when you are with me, I am working for you. So that just confirms what the value of that holy hour. That's
yes,
powerful.
Amen.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll ask Father Joe Isle a little bit more about the priesthood and his joy for the priesthood. And I really encourage you, if you're thinking about becoming a priest, I even give you my cell number. Why? Because I want to make sure you get into a good seminary. My number is 661-972-7872. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. We're too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, we'd be billionaires. We're talking to Father Joe Isle about his holy priesthood. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back. Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Actually, welcome back. It's Terry Barber and Father Joe Isle. Jesse will be back Monday, just for your own information. He's been under formation under Father Ripperger in the spiritual warfare formation. So when Jesse comes back for Jesus 911 and the Terry and Jesse Show, he'll be sharing all of that that he learned this past week. I'm here with Father Joe Ilo, and I want to just mention something about the Holy Eucharist that is a resource for our listeners. It's called Mysterium Fidei. Pope Paul VI, who's a saint now, in 1965, wrote a beautiful document on the Holy Eucharist. It's a short document, but it makes it really clear on what we believe. Remember, when people say Jesus is in the bread, that's not what we believe. You hear that a lot. No, Jesus is under the appearance of bread and wine. So we want to be clear, because sometimes even songs that are sung in Catholic churches aren't really clear on what, actually they're wrong. I'll just be honest with you. They're not what the church teaches, and it brings, you know, confusion. So again, we believe that Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, is under the appearance of bread and wine. Father Joe Ilo, you can see that you're a happy priest. You're busy at your parish. You've got perpetual adoration. You encourage people with total consecration to the Blessed Mother. If a young man is listening right now and he's saying, well, the church is under siege right now. We're in a crisis. I've actually seen one of your videos on YouTube where you encourage people that this is the time to step up to the plate. Can you share a little inspiration to us regarding our response to COVID-19 and the closing of churches and our rights being taken away? What response should we have as Catholics today?
Well, I think we've been working hand in glove with the civil authorities, and we must as much as we can.
Sure.
But we have to realize that not everybody's our friend any longer in the secular culture in which we live. And there will come a time, there may come a time, there probably will in terms of persecution, when we have to define our loyalties. It's either with the kingdom of God or it's with the kingdom of this world.
Amen.
Actually, St. Ignatius of Loyola, whose feast day we celebrate today, said, well, there's only two standards or two flags under which you can march. The standard of God, of Jesus Christ, or the standard of Satan. He was pretty clear about that. Now, he was a soldier, and so he thought in very clear terms. And so we need, everybody needs to be a soldier to march under the flag of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But we do need lieutenants, sergeants, captains, I don't know all the military nomenclature, but we need leaders.
Yep.
We need captains in this, the church militant needs captains. So now what does a priest who is a leader or a bishop do most of all? What's the most effective use of his time? You said it in the earlier segment, it's adoration, yep, the Blessed Sacrament, it's right, Mass, it's praying the rosary, it's personal prayer and then leading the people in prayer. All the other activities, good, but only if we have time for that. Instead of busy priests, if you're a busy priest, you have to do a holy hour once a day. If you're really busy, those times when you're really busy, you have to do two holy hours a day. And so for a young man who might be thinking, well, this is a difficult time to be a priest, precisely.
Amen.
That's when we're most needed, and that's where the greatest prizes are available. That's when you could become a great saint, when there is persecution. There is to some level of persecution now. It's nothing like in other countries like China or other countries of Southeast Asia, Vietnam. But it's heating up. And would you miss this drama? Would you not want to be a part of this time of great heroism in the church's history in this country? And so for any young man or any young woman, now who's more important, the priest or the sister? That's a good question. A Carmelite sister who spends her life in adoration and prayer, sacrifice. I mean, without them, we priests are sunk. So if you're a young woman listening to this, your prayers and sacrifices, the hidden life,
yes,
of Our Lady and the other women saints, that is irreplaceable.
Well said. I think of St. Thomas More when he said, earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. And,
yes.
Yep. And you know, Father, I got a quote about redemptive suffering that also is playing a role. I think that, there's no other reason why some people come back to the faith except someone was praying and making sacrifices. I'd like to get your comment about Well, that's Colossians chapter 1. I fill up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ for the good of the church. But this is from my formation letter that I took from the Opus Angelorum, the work of the holy angels. And I use this because I, especially today's Friday, I know it's St. Ignatius' feast day, but every Friday we say no to ourselves, a little bit of sacrifices. So check this out and then give me your take on this. There is so much suffering in the world which could be transformed into streams of grace if it were accepted and offered in union with the sufferings of our blessed Lord. Hospitals could become spiritual atomic power plants in drawing divine graces into the world. If all Catholics would work with this great talent properly, the evil one would soon be defeated, the world would be converted, and countless poor souls would be released from purgatory. Now, Father, I truly believe that, okay? But, you know, how can we get this communicated to Joe Sixpack that every action is like a blank check? If Christ's name was on it, it has infinite value. Give me your take on that quote that I just gave you.
So that quote was from Archbishop Sheen, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, because he would look at the hospital and say, oh, that wasted pain.
That's right.
But atomic power plants, that's a powerful
analogy. Yeah.
Yeah. So Mother Teresa would say the moment we offer something to God, it becomes infinite. Mm. I mean, even a toothache or skipping a meal or praying an extra rosary, it becomes infinite when we offer it to God instead of complain and grumble about it. So Joe Sixpack, and we're all Joe Sixpacks, we all... Yesterday was our day off, my day off. A lot of priests, we got together and we were drinking beer.
Yeah.
Or doing athletics, you know, playing, you know, sports. And so there's that, you know, you have to, six packs are good. They're a gift of God.
Yeah.
But there's a time for six packs and there's a time for not drinking six packs. And that day is Friday. We just got a letter from our Archbishop here in San Francisco, Salvatore Corleone.
Yes.
Archbishop Corleone said, okay, we're in a difficult position, guys. And he said, his letter to priests.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I ask you to join me, not only in praying the rosary every day, but to making, to fasting. He said, join me. Fasting means one meal on Fridays. He said, join me in giving up at least one meal on Fridays. And better just have one meal and then, you know, snacks on the other end to keep up your strength. But I've been doing that myself, but, you know, I fudge it because, like, oh, I'm feeling weak and I got a lot of work to do today. So usually I would skip breakfast. You just have a cup of tea with some honey in it to keep up my strength. But today I did that again. I just said, well, I'm just going to have tea and honey. You know, the Archbishop told me to do it. So God always provides the strength. And if he doesn't provide the strength, you're not supposed to do it. Like, okay, I'm supposed to, you know, sit in my chair and pray the rosary all day because I don't have the strength to run around town visiting hospitals. So whatever your work is, fasting is key. We have to keep on, we're a foodie culture, food incorporated. Everybody thinks about food all the time because it's just the mainstay of our economy. And it's hard to wean ourselves, but fasting
mm-hmm.
is, so I encourage, I ask and I urge all Catholics listening to this mm-hmm. to seriously sacrifice something on Friday. I mean, give up a meal. Just have some tea. Or, you know, maybe not everybody can do that, but you can. There are so many other ways of mortification. And we offer that to God, it becomes infinite.
Well,
who knows? Yeah.
Well said. I know you love St. Maximilian Kolbe like I do because we both did the consecration. St. Maximilian Kolbe has a quote that he said, there are three stages of life. He says their first stage is your formation, like you got as a young 17-year-old. You got really good formation. And then St. Maximilian Kolbe says there's your apostolate, what you're God called to do. Well, God called you to be a priest. Maybe some of the others here listening, you're a layman, you're single, you're a married wife, a woman, married husband. Okay, I get all that. And then he said there's a third stage of life for most of us, and he said it was suffering. And I think of that, Father Joe, the victimhood of the priesthood. And Fulton Sheen talks about that. And I just want to, I don't want to scare any young men away, but I want to say this, that the priesthood, you know, Sheen says, without Good Friday, there's no Easter Sunday. Can you tell us a little bit about your own walk in regards to, let's just say, persecution in a sense of being a celibate priest? I would think that the world looks at you and says, you got a problem, dude. What's your problem? And my question to you is, without this, in other words, bringing the supernatural aspect of our faith, it seems like that's what's lacking the strong faith in the church today. How can we encourage our listeners to have that supernatural outlook, whether they're called to be a priest, a nun, a mother, a father? How do we install the supernatural outlook on life? Because, you know, life is short and eternity is forever. How do we do that?
Well, that's the key, is seeing everything in the light of eternity. Mm-hmm. The old Latin, sub specie eternitatis.
Yeah.
So keep your eyes on the prize. The prize is nothing in this world is good enough for us. The prize that will lead us on happily through life, through all the ups and downs, has got to be heaven.
Amen.
Union with Christ and the communion of saints. So keep your eyes fixed on that. And then all these other things, sufferings are like, you know, if a soldier is fixed on the objective, he can receive all sorts of wounds and not even feel them.
Yeah.
Or he might feel them, but he's like, well, that's nothing next to what I'm striving to attain here. Well, our objective is heaven. So everything has to be put in that perspective that, okay, yeah, I'm being persecuted in the media, which priests are always going to be persecuted in the media these days. I mean, if you're speaking... and so, okay, that's fine. It's not a big deal. Or a priest is misunderstood by his bishop, and the bishops will always misunderstand the priest to some degree, and vice versa. The priest always, that's the way families work.
Yep.
and some guys are like, oh, I can't live with this. No, offer it up.
Amen.
It's just life. It's going to happen whether you offer it up or not. But better to not waste that pain, as Fulton Sheen said.
Well said.
And then there's physical suffering, right?
Yes.
I'm getting older. I'm 58. My back hurts. my feet hurt. And just offer it up and with great joy, okay? That's my – so never be afraid. Whatever God allows to happen, it's worth it.
Amen.
Worth having.
Father Joe, I'm going to let you go now because I know you've got Mass and Confessions you're going to be listening to. What is the name of your parish in San Francisco so if people ever come, they can go?
Star of the Sea.
Great.
Golden Gate Bridge. We got the Golden Gate Bridge in our backyard, so come on down.
All right. Thanks again, Father. And one priestly blessing, if you could give it, please.
In the name of the blessing of Almighty God be with you now and always, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Joe Ilo up in San Francisco. May God bless you and your work. Take care.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to covenanteyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. It's www.covenanteyes.com, code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Healthcare news today seems to be coming from everywhere and everyone. It's confusing, at least, and untrustworthy at the worst. Dr. Aceta is a faithful Catholic in the Kern County community. He is trustworthy, well-researched, and will only give expert opinion on matters in his own specialty. Catholic teaching at its entirety is of utmost importance to Dr. Aceta. Give Dr. Aceta a call for your obstetrics and gynecological needs at 661-695-6617.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Isn't it inspiring to run into priests who really believe in their priesthood, who love their priesthood? That was Father Joe Ilo, friend of mine from 40 years ago. I didn't realize it was 40 years ago we met. But he's on fire for the faith. He's now a pastor. And it's beautiful that he didn't know much about his faith. He got educated. He responded to the graces. And now he's got a parish where he's doing perpetual Eucharistic adoration for his parishioners. Thanks be to God. As I mentioned, I have good news to share with you. And I wanted to let Father get his Mass and confessions going. So that's why we just hit him the first half of the show. So let's go ahead and act like this was the beginning of the show, and we're going to talk about the gospel of the day. This is St. Ignatius of Loyola's feast day. But the gospel is chapter 13 of Matthew, verse 54 to 58. And here it comes. Jesus came to the native place and taught the people in the synagogue. They were astonished and said, "Where did this man get such wisdom and mighty deeds? Is he not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother named Mary, and his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Are not his sisters all with us? Where did this man get all of this?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his native place and in his own house. And he did not work many mighty deeds there because of their lack of faith." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. My take on that is the last part where it says he did not work many mighty deeds because of their lack of faith. I wonder in our own days if that applies to us. I think it does. I always encourage all of us listening to ask Jesus Christ for more faith every single day, and your faith will grow. But I got to tell you, look around right now, and look how weak the faith is. Look at how few people are going to Mass right now. How many few people are going to confession? And this is the problem right now, lack of faith in the world. And I believe, we've talked about this before, that when the people aren't receiving the sacraments, they're opening themselves up to the demonic. And the devil is alive and well, running around, and he's corrupting a lot of people. And that's why I ask you, be strong in your faith, but continue to ask Jesus Christ for more faith. That's what it takes. Now, I want to bring the smartest guy into the room halfway through our show. Full Sheen ahead. Here's what Bishop Sheen said. We're talking about Friday. Father Joe Ilo just shared with us about fasting, making sacrifices on Friday. Well, Bishop Sheen says, "Unless there is love, sacrifice and penance will be felt as an evil, but not when love is there." Now, that applies to what Father Joe Ilo was just saying about Fridays, making a sacrifice, missing a meal, just, you know, going out and doing something of charitable work, make the sacrifice, give some money away to help somebody who needs it. This is what we do as Catholics. And so Fulton Sheen is spot on when he said that. And I share that with you because it applies to all of us listening right now. I want to just give a reflection, and then I'm going to give you some good news stories. And boy, do I have some good news stories. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. Think about that. if our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was for forgiveness of sins. So God sent us a Savior. Jesus Christ is the source and summit of our life. I share that with you because that's why we have to keep our focus in life is on Jesus Christ, not on COVID-19 or on the election. You know what? We vote with our Catholic moral conscience. We know who to vote when we look at the platforms of the parties. You decide based on what they believe. And then does it mount your belief? Does abortion support your belief system? Hope not. But if it does, then you're responsible voting that way, and you're going to have the consequences of it, okay? But I want to give some good news. When I had Father Callaway on Wednesday, he just got word that in Mexico, the Supreme Court has a decision that says abortion remains illegal. Thank you, Jesus, in Mexico. I just wish we could get to that point. And I think we can if we make the right decisions and the right prayers for our who's going to be in the White House next year, because the Supreme Court folks are getting older and they'll be picking new ones, and we sure want to have pro-life Supreme Court guys like Mexico has, because they're turning it around. It's a big win for the pro-life people in Mexico. And, I want to say congratulations. Mexicans believe in life. I just got to say kudos to them. Now, I want to just give you some resources today. You're going to have the weekend to yourself. There's an article on LifeSite News. It says explosion in mandatory masking isn't driven by science, but with fear. Excellent article. It's very long. I read it, and it let science drive all this, not fear. And that's what's going on with COVID-19. Think about it. Don't be scared because, something can get us sick. I would say the virus of sin is much more important than that. And the church's role is to keep us spiritually healthy, not so much physically healthy. And so I would say let's emphasize that point. Now, here's something that blew me away. I know that we call it collateral damage of all the things I've talked about with COVID-19 and how many things are, people are dying because people aren't getting to their hospitals to get their operation done on their heart or their lungs. But here's something. I feel so bad to have to say this. 10,000 children deaths per month due to the coronavirus-linked mass hunger and food shortages in Africa and Central America. And this is put out by all the folks who are trying to feed these people. And I say this because we call it collateral damage, but it really is collateral damage because we shouldn't have that. And I mention this to you because we need to pray for that solution, which is only in God. And I also want to just bring up this other little story that I have to share, that some of the Catholic organizations that are out there seem to go off the church teachings. And I want everybody to understand this is not my personal opinion. We go with what Holy Mother, the church, teaches. Now, there's a newspaper called the National Catholic Reporter. I call it the National Catholic Distorter. I was a subscriber at one time because I wanted to know what they were teaching. And they come out with the dissident National Catholic Reporter calls pro-abortion AOC the future of the Catholic Church. Now, the paper's editor said pro-abortion and pro-LGBT Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez referenced Catholic values in a speech. Now, the article just points out how mixed up they are. So I warn you, just because an organization has got the word Catholic in it, be careful. Always measure it to the Catechism of the Catholic Church. As you know, Bishop Strickland has a show with us on Tuesdays after the Terry and Jesse show where he opens up that catechism and teaches us the fundamental teachings of the church. And he will tell you just not his opinion, but what Holy Mother, the Church, is teaching. And I just think that's important for us because, you know, we're not at that stage in some countries where the persecution is so bad, like in China, like Father Joilo mentioned. They're removing Christian symbols from citizens' homes as a condition for government aid. So in other words, you want help in your rent? Well, you got to throw that crucifix away. You got to throw the Blessed Mother out the door. That's not here. It's in China. But that's not to say it can't come to America. We have to stand up for our faith. And I just want to remind you to pray for our government officials who are working on these laws right now and make sure that there are going to be laws that are going to be faithful to our Lord. Also, I have a good news story. A pro-life senator, I like this. He holds a minute of silence on the Senate floor for the abortion victims. That took guts, man. Republican State Senator John Lowell, he did it. And I just have the article here at LifeSite News. Why am I saying it? Because I really think these are things that we need to do. And again, this is Friday. When I come back, I'm going to talk about Bishop Athanasius Schneider and asking us to join in a crusade of reparation for sins against Jesus and the Holy Eucharist. Just what Father Joe Ilo talked about earlier in the show. I want to mention something. If you're in Southern California, we just put up another tent. Our congregation is growing. We have about 140, 150 people coming to Holy Mass. We have a Mass at 9 a.m. on Sunday and 5 in the afternoon on Sunday. Confessions at 3 o'clock. But I had to buy another mat. And I always ask the people there, and I'm going to ask to get donations for it. But if you'd like to help us, if you're able to, call us at 877-526-2151 or go online to virginmostpowerfulradio.org because that's how we support this ministry. We're not funded by the government. We wouldn't, even if the government offered some money, we're going to say no because we don't want any strings attached. Hey, I just wanted to also mention a Spanish cardinal defied the government COVID restrictions and he said, no, we're going to hold Mass with more than 10 people. It's a big cathedral. He says, wait a minute, we got to push back. Now, he did this in Spain, in Barcelona, and I would just say, I think he got pushed a little too far. And I think that it's coming to a point where they're allowing other places to open. You can go to Walmart and shop all you want, Home Depot, wherever, but they're not allowing us in our churches. I think that's a challenge. That's my take. And when we come back, we'll talk about Bishop Athanasius Schneider and what he's asking us to do in regards to the Holy Eucharist, the source and summit of the Christian faith. You're listening to The Terry and Jesse Show. We're too blessed to be stressed. Yes, too anointed to be disappointed. We'll be right back to inspire you to have a greater love for Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back.
In Luke 7, Jesus said, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven her, because she has been shown great love. According to St. John of the Cross, Christians should always remember that the value of their good works is not based on number and excellence. Their value is based on the love for God that prompts them to do the works. May we always be motivated by true love for God and not worry so much about what we do, but why we do it.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871. Because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse. We talked about Father Joe Ilo and how the Holy Eucharist is what brought him into the priesthood because Alice O'Donnell actually brought him to the Blessed Sacrament on all-night vigil and then realized, hey, this is really Jesus. Well, we know that the Catholic Church teaches the Eucharist is the source and summit of the Christian life. There's an article again on LifeSite News from Bishop Athanasius Snyder. He says, join me in the crusade of reparation for the sins against Jesus and the Holy Eucharist. Not far from my studio, we have the Blessed Sacrament in our chapel. That's the background, you know, it's a green screen here. It's not really, I'm not really standing in the church. But our church is there for adoration. We have people praying right now, making reparation for the sacrileges against the Blessed Sacrament. And believe me, there are many. What Bishop Athanasius Snyder is saying is he's calling the COVID-19 pandemic emergency a horrible abuse of the Blessed Sacrament has increased still more, the bishop said, exhorting the faithful to console the hidden Jesus. He said this, there's never been, now this is a man who's holy, he knows history. He says there's never been in history of time of church where the sacrament of the Eucharist has been abused, outraged so much and alarming until right now in these past five decades. And so he's saying that we need to get back to the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. We know, as I mentioned, the study that shows like 80% of the Catholics don't believe in the real presence. That's a problem. And how do we bring that problem to a solution? Bring Jesus, bring people to Jesus in the Eucharist. Again, people come here all day, all night praying before the Blessed Sacrament here. Now, I want to relate this to the St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, the Sacred Heart of Jesus. When that took place in 1675, it was right after the French Revolution where people were very weak about their study of the faith. And when Christ manifested himself to St. Margaret Mary and declared to her the infinite love he has for her, he complained that so many and such great injuries were done to him by ungrateful men, and we would that these words in which he made the complaint were fixed on the minds of the faithful and were never blotted out from oblivion. So the bishop is saying that as St. Margaret Mary got these messages to St. Margaret Mary, then we have a similar situation where man is trying to replace himself with God, or God is being replaced by man. So this is important that we have a great love for the Eucharist. Now, Fatima, we talked about this earlier in the week about the Holy Eucharist and the angel. But Sister Lucy wrote how Francisco, the young boy who saw the Blessed Mother in Fatima, one of the three children, perceived the necessity to console God, whom he understood to be sad because of the sins of man. We can say that right now. You can right now mark it. The world is living like God doesn't exist. And what can we do? Go watch another show? No! Go make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament. And if you can't, even from a distance, adore Jesus from 10 miles away. You know the churches in the East? Pray. Because what Sister Lucy said about Francisco, he said, I asked him one day, Francisco, which do you like better, to console our Lord or to convert sinners so that no more souls will go to hell? I would rather console our Lord. Didn't you notice how sad Our Lady was last month? And call him last month. When she said that people must not offend our Lord anymore, for he is already much offended. I would like to console our Lord and after that convert sinners so that they won't offend him anymore. Mr. Engineer, Dr. Ed's trying to get in right now. Let's see if we can get Dr. Ed on this conversation. So Fatima was a very Eucharistic apparition. In his prayers and in his offerings of his suffering, and we call him now Saint Francisco Martel, gave priority to the intention of consoling the hidden Jesus. Our Eucharistic Lord, Sister Lucy reported these words of Francisco, which he said to her, when you come out of school, go and stay for a while near the hidden Jesus, and afterwards come home by yourself. I went to that church and visited Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament that they're referring to when I went to Fatima in 2016. So this is a very important aspect of our faith, devotion to the Holy Eucharist. Now, Jesus Christ continues in his mysterious way, his passion in Gethsemane throughout the ages, in the mystery of the church, and also in the Eucharistic mystery, the mystery of his immense love. Known in expression, Jesus will be in agony even to the end of the world. So true. We must not sleep during that time. Now, John Paul II, Cardinal Wotelia, left us a profound reflection on the mystery of Christ's suffering in Gethsemane, which in certain sense continues in the life of the church. The future Pope spoke about this as the duty to the church to console Christ. And now, he says, the church seeks to recover the hour in Gethsemane, the hour lost by Peter, James, and John. Isn't this powerful to you? I mean, it made me go, I want to go visit Jesus this afternoon. Yes, every Friday between noon and 3, that's the time I make an effort to get before the Blessed Sacrament because of the Passion. Because Jesus Christ, as the Eucharistic mystery, is not indifferent. And he's not insensitive towards the behavior of men and women shown in this regard to the sacrament of love. Christ is present in this sacrament also with his soul, which we call a big term, hypostatic union, united with his divine person. One of our Roman theologians presented a sound theological explanation in this regard. Even if the body of Christ in the Eucharist cannot be seen or sensibly feel, what happens or when it is in the place of his sacramental presence, Christ in the Eucharist hears all, sees with superior knowledge. That's one of our cardinals mentioned about the Eucharistic theology. Now, one other person I would recommend that you read is Saint Peter Julian Emard. He left us a following profound reflection, and if you like it, Google it on the internet. He says, by instituting his sacrament, Jesus perpetuated the sacrifice of his passion. He was acquainted with all the new Judases. He counted them among his own, among his well-beloved children. But nothing of all this could stop Jesus. He wanted his love to go further than the ingratitude and the malice of men. He wanted to outlive man's sacrilege and malice. He knew beforehand the lukewarmness of his followers. Think about this, down through the centuries. He knew mine, me personally. He knew yours. He knew what little fruit we would derive from the Holy Communions. But he wants to love just the same, to love more than he was loved, more than man could make in return. Is there anything else? Oh my gosh, Saint is powerful. But is it nothing to have adopted this state of death when he has the fullness of life, the glorified, the supernatural life? Is it nothing to be treated and considered as one dead? In the state of death, Jesus is without beauty, motion, or defense. He is wrapped in the sacred species in a shroud. and laid in a tabernacle as in a tomb. You ever thought of that analogy? Think about that the next time you visit Jesus in the Eucharist. He is there. However, he sees everything. He hears everything. He submits to everything as though he were dead. His love casts a veil over his power, his glory, his hands, his feet, his beautiful face, his sacred lips. It has hidden everything. It has left him only his heart to love us, his state of victimhood to intercede on our behalf. That was St. Peter Emard, Julian Emard, his reflection on the Holy Eucharist. Why am I bringing all this up? Because it's the end of the week. Can I give you an action item? Go make a holy hour. Yeah, just be there with Jesus and, you know, say, I'm here, and be in his presence. I will make a promise to you. If you do that at least once a week, your love for Jesus will increase in the Holy Eucharist. Why? Because you're spending time with Jesus Christ, the true body, true blood, true divinity of Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist. Wow, the month of July is the precious blood month. Today's the end of the month. Make that effort to love Jesus more in the Holy Eucharist. Remember what this Benedictine monk said. He said, more good can be done in a single hour of adoration than 100 days of uninterrupted preaching and apostolic labors. For when you are with me, I am working for you. Wow, that's so true. That's Fulton Sheen's message to all of us. Hey, just a quick note. I know we're going to have Jesse back next week. I want to thank everybody. It's been a wonderful summer. We're going to go into August and doing all kinds of good things here. Our new shows I want to recommend. Bishop Strickland's show on Tuesdays. We've got Dr. Louis Sandoval on Thursdays right after the Terry and Jesse show. Dr. Louis is he works on the team with the exorcisms in Orange County. He's the doctor that works with the priest. And I would encourage you, it's on mental health and spiritual health. You got a PhD and a guy that loves, more importantly, Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Check that show out. Also, Bishop Strickland, I'm telling you, out of the 300 bishops in America, if I had a choice to have someone on our show every week, I would be Bishop Strickland. He's a no-nonsense bishop. He's actually, you know, teaching people the fundamentals of the faith. Here's what Scott Hahn said about Bishop Strickland. He's one of the most dynamic Orthodox bishops in the church today. He's courageous. He's outspoken. He's a shepherd who always is ready to defend his flock. Boy, do we need more of that. I know you will be blessed by his powerful teachings and commentary. That's Scott Hahn from the St. Paul Center talking about him. Father Don Calloway, he says, I'm so excited about the new show with Bishop Strickland. I've been around the world as a priest, and I've spoken in many dioceses, so many countries. I can tell you, Bishop Strickland is one of the best in the world. Join us here at Virgin Most Powerful. It's all podcast on our website, virginmostpowerfulradio.org. I always like to end, Jesse, what state should you be living in, brother? And now Jesse will say the state of grace, not Arizona, not California. And what state shouldn't you be living in? State of mortal sin, even for a second. What should you do? You need to go to confession, like I'm going to go tomorrow. On my calendar, here at the Sacred Heart Chapel, we have confession starting at 3 o'clock till 5. We have a 5 o'clock vigil mass. Sunday, confessions at 8 in the morning. Don't hesitate. The sacraments are available here. May God bless you. And thanks again for supporting us here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. It's almost 3 years now we've been doing this. And we thank God he's given us the opportunity to share the good news of our Savior Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. May God bless you. And full sheen ahead at Virgin Most Powerful. We need another Bishop Sheen. And that's what we give you every day here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God bless you and God love you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.